Hi everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, where my guest will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation will primarily focus on the May employment report and next week's FOMC meeting. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Senior Economist America's Brian Rose. Brian, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thanks, Siobhan. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brian. So let's get started. Let's begin with the May employment report, which was released shortly ago. How did the data measure up to your expectations, and how would you characterize the current health of the U.S. labor market?
So we had mixed results in this report. The headline non-farm payrolls were stronger than expected, rising 272,000 in May. And average hourly earnings also surprised the upside, up 0.4 month over month. And these are the numbers that the market tends to focus on. So you see very strong reaction in the market with the bond yields moving higher, market pricing out Fed rate cuts because of the strength of that payroll number. But the labor report consists of two different surveys. You have the payroll data, which is based on a survey of businesses. They go around and they ask the business, how many people do you have on your payrolls? But then there's another survey of households where they ask people, of the people living in your household, how many are working, how many of them want to work, and so on. And that household survey was very weak. So really bad news in this report. The unemployment rate moved up to 4%. So we bottomed out at 3.4%, and now the unemployment rate is up to 4%. And historically, we've never seen a rise of the unemployment rate this high without a recession occurring. So this looks worrying. The employment itself fell by 400,000 month over month in that household survey. The participation rate fell. So you had less people in the labor force, and still a rise in unemployment because of this big drop in the number of people working, according to the survey. And if you look year over year, employment is barely up at all over the last 12 months, according to the household survey. So you have this strange contrast between very strong payrolls, but the household survey sending a very weak message. And, very difficult to reconcile these numbers. But again, the market tends to focus on the payrolls. It's considered to be more accurate month to month than the household survey, less noisy. In my view, the results of this report are a lot more mixed than you might judge from the market reaction.
Thank you so much for your insights on that, Brian. So were there other notable data releases from this past week that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so there was another labor market-related release, which is the JOLTS data on job openings. And that was quite soft. So openings down to just a little above 8 million now. We peaked at more than 12 million openings, and now it's 8 million. So significant decrease. And with the rise in unemployment in this morning's data, this ratio of job openings to the number of unemployed available to fill those openings, that ratio is down to 1.2, and it peaked at more than 2. So, from that very broad perspective, the labor market looks to be in better balance. So the labor market peaked out a couple of years ago now and has been trending softer. And again, this balance between supply and demand is much better than it used to be. And this is big focus for the Fed. And one other data point to note is the ISM PMIs were out. And here also mixed results. Manufacturing was a little bit weaker, actually falling further below the neutral reading of 50. But on the services side, it was a really surprise to the upside, especially business activity was up more than 10 points. So really strong results suggesting that service sector is very active. On the other hand, you look at the comments from the survey respondents, and they didn't really match the numbers from the ISM. So on the manufacturing side, the comments weren't too bad. But on the services side, again, the numbers were better, but the comments weren't. The comments were suggesting that things are actually pretty sluggish. So again, you add all this up, very difficult to interpret, very hard to understand what's really going in the economy, because there's so much noise in this data, it's hard to be confident, you know, the right way to interpret it all.
So turning to next week, Brian, all eyes will be on the FOMC meeting. What are your expectations?
So no one expects the Fed to actually change policy, but a lot of focus on what the Fed might do from here. And of course, a lot of focus on the dot plot, which indicates where the FOMC members expect rates to be at the end of each calendar year. Now, if you go back, the last time we got the dots in the March meeting, they showed 3 cuts by the end of this year. Right, that was the median dot was indicating 3 cuts this year. But given everything that's happened since March, especially the stronger than expected inflation numbers, we're probably going to go from 3 cuts to 2 cuts. But there is some risk that it'll go all the way to just 1 cut. So there are a substantial number of FOMC members who are saying, well, I think we're only going to want to cut late in the year, only 1 cut this year. And especially after the big payroll number, maybe more of them will be leaning towards, a later start to the rate cuts. But the nature of the things is that their views could change between now and the meeting on Wednesday. Especially we have the CPI out on the day of the FOMC meeting. So if that is a big number, could push the dots so that there's less cuts. If the CPI is relatively weak, you get the more favorable number, then I think we will see the dots indicating two cuts. But overall, I think there's not going to be a lot of change at this meeting. So in terms of the Fed's forecast for growth and inflation, they'll have to raise their inflation forecast a little bit and I think cut their growth estimate for this year. But you're talking about changes, 1 or 2 tenths, not huge changes in the outlook. And I think the messaging also will be very similar to the past, which is that we don't think we're going to have to raise rates again, but we're probably waiting longer to start the rate cuts than we previously expected. Again, mainly because the inflation data has been higher. And from a big picture, we still think we can achieve a soft landing. So we think, the economy will slow, inflation will slow, we can start to trim interest rates, and we can avoid, a more severe downturn. This basic messaging, I think, will be the same as we've had in recent months.
So as we come to the end of our conversation, Brian, what are some other points of interest next week that investors should be mindful of?
Yeah, as I mentioned, the big focus next week will be on those CPI numbers, but we also get the producer price index, import and export prices. So, obviously a lot of focus on inflation at the moment. And a couple other indicators that also give us some insight into inflation. So we get the NFIB survey of small businesses. Within that, there's data on employment, how many people are you planning to hire? Do you have a lot of job openings, things like that? And also, are you raising your prices? So that will be interesting to see. And then we also get the University of Michigan consumer sentiment. And there's also, they survey inflation expectations. These are very important because if inflation expectations threaten to rise too much, it puts pressure on the Fed. So again, all of this data will be seen through the lens of inflation. What are these numbers telling us on the inflation outlook? Because at the moment, this is really what is determining when those rate cuts will start, and not only what's happening with inflation at the moment, but what's the outlook for the months ahead. And there are things like NFIB survey, inflation expectations, are important to look at.
Thank you so much for joining us, Brian.
Thanks very much.
Again, today we have been joined by Brian Rose, Senior Economist Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. From UBS Studios, I'm Siobhan Chapman, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.